Well, good day and welcome back to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry of the Wash and Word. As you might know, the Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Highway 11W in Church Hill. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center. And my name is Matthew, along with my wife Victoria. We're the owners and operators of the Wash and Word. And there you can come and wash your car and get it cleaned inside and out. We offer a really good job at a pretty good price. And we do it all for the glory of God. And by that, I mean is we bring you these Bible teachings. You can hear them in the parking lot. If you just turn to 107.1 FM, we broadcast them on a small radio transmitter. So anytime you want to hear a word from God, or you need just to hear something from the Lord, you just want to sit and listen to some verse-by-verse Bible teaching, you come by the Wash and Word, whether we're open or not. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week ministry. We play these 5 messages that we air on WMCH Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. We play them in a loop, and so we want to be known as the parking lot that you can come and hear God's Word any time, any day. And we also are starting to branch this ministry out. If you're interested in hosting one of the radio transmitter broadcasts, where if you have a building or a place that reaches other people or has a parking lot where people gather, maybe a store front or something of that matter, we're looking for more people to install the Word of God 24/7. And again, it broadcasts onto a radio station. Here it's 107.1 FM, and it just gives everyone an opportunity to hear the Word of God outside of the typical four walls of a church. So that's the ministry in a nutshell. You could support us by simply coming here and letting us work to earn the money that it takes to keep the ministry alive. We agree, like Paul, that you know we should keep working to support the ministry and not rely upon others, even though that's our right. As ministers of God's word, to be supported by others, we feel that it's best if we do this by our own accord. And that's actually a pretty good segue into where we're at right now. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and again, we do verse by verse because we believe that's the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for all that this world will throw at us. By doing verse by verse, we don't leave anything out. Therefore, I'm not able to skip anything, and you're not able to not hear certain things. And so, going back to exercising our right, in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, Paul's going to, he's still kind of answering questions from a lost letter. We've notated from a couple of scriptures earlier. And again, if you want to hear some of the older 1 Corinthians or other message books that we've done from the Bible, go to washandword.com. We have them all archived there. Just click on the media tab and you can download or listen to for free all of our archive messages. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. But going back, Paul, we've assumed that there's at least a third letter that the Corinthians got. We, of course, have 2 here in the canon of Scripture. But he's answering questions from that lost letter. He's still dealing with the eating issue, that is, eating foods that were offered or sacrificed to other gods. And again, while this is something that we might not struggle with in our culture and our society today, a paraphrase analogy might go something like this. How much or how far should I alter and change my behavior as they pertain to someone else's judgment or opinion? In other words, how much of my actions, how much of the things that I am not convicted of to eliminate from my life? And we gave a lot of examples in the last few messages, so I'm not going to get back into that. But how much of that should I change or alter or eliminate based on other people's judgment of me or other people's opinion? And that was pretty much all of last chapter's theme. And again, go to washandword.com and you can hear those. But this leads into today's topic as we get into chapter 9. How far and to what extent should I exercise my rights as a Christian? And this is actually a pretty good question. Like, we have certain rights as Christians that we can exercise, but Jesus and Paul and else, other places in the Bible also tell us that we don't have to exercise those rights. They're there for us to have, but we don't have to. And so we're going to kind of look at where do we draw the line in that. Now, I added the word Christian in there, my rights as a Christian, because the spirit of the age, that is of the worldlings, the fleshly antichrist spirit in the world, is constantly demanding their rights everywhere we look. Isn't it true? I mean, it was that commercial a while back, I don't remember, it's my money and I want it now. You know, everywhere we look, people are demanding their right to free medical insurance, demanding their right to free food and food stamps, demanding their right through lawsuits left and right, demanding their right to choose the murder of an infant, demanding their right for same-sex marriage, demanding their right to do just about whatever the flesh desires for them to do, and to not only do it legally, but to have a conscience that is seared and that it is forced upon the rest of us as normality. But see, for the Christian, it is, well, at least it should be different. We have rights, but we should not demand anything. We have been given a pardon for our sins, access to divine power while on earth, and a promise of eternal glory in a place called heaven. So to me, my rights, that is what I have coming to me, or my blessings, are already 100% fulfilled in that last statement. That, of course, being the pardon of my sins, a divine power while on earth, and a promise of eternal glory. Those are the rights that I'm going to cash in on. Those are the rights that I've already cashed in on as a member of Christ's body. And anything after that, to demand anything more or to exercise any other right over and beyond those great blessings, is to declare that you have not quite grasped the concept of grace. It declares that you have not yet taken hold of Jesus Christ fully, nor have you realized the gifts that you have already received. In fact, there's a couple of places in chapter 9 that we look at that are going to challenge that grasp or understanding of grace. But please understand, I know we all get there at times. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. We all have those periods of life. You know, the poor me periods, the bad attitudes. Well, why should they constantly be getting, financially blessed and we're struggling? You know, the whining that we do as Christians. We're all there. Listen, human nature says that we will always find ourselves there, in those attitudes and whinings and poor me's. But the born-again Holy Spirit says, I will not dwell there. And so we are not immune to falling into those bad attitudes and our demanding our rights and whining and self-pity and all that stuff. We're going to fall there once in a while. Listen, but the born-again Holy Spirit says, you don't have to dwell there. And if you remain there, it is by your choice. You must decide in advance not to take up residence in that state of mind. And so in chapter 8, Paul made it clear that we have no right to injure another brother or sister's weak faith. And again, we talked about that extensively in chapter 8. Go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, and you can listen to all the archived messages. But he was saying that, listen, we have no right to display our freedom if it causes another person to sin. You know, we have great freedoms in Christ, and we are free to do whatever it is that we want to do until the Holy Spirit convicts us. Then, if we continue to do it, it becomes a sin. I guess, simply put, Christian liberty that causes someone else to sin turns that liberty immediately into a sin. Paul says as much in the last chapter, chapter 8, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians. He says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. And so chapter 9 carries this theme, but it carries it a little bit deeper as we deal with those who will argue that point of view. They might say, well, I'm not going to give up a freedom that I have to maybe have a glass of wine at a fancy dinner. I'm not going to give up my freedom to go see a rated R movie if it's a really good movie. I'm not going to give up my freedom to listen to rock and roll or heavy metal. I'm not going to, and dot, dot, dot. You can fill in the blank. We all have those lists of freedoms we feel okay to continue in. Because we might say this and then say, we're not going to, you know, I'm not going to give up that freedom just because some poor schlep is stuck in his legalistic views and his weak faith. So Paul uses the best example he possibly could, himself. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 9. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? These are all hypotheticals, of course, sarcastic questions. Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? And even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Let's stop right there, because I want to examine what he says here. And to paraphrase that into an application point, we might say something along the lines of, personal experience and examples are the best testimony because they are passionate. They are passionate. You know, when you give your personal experience that you've had with the Lord, when you give examples of your testimony and how God has worked in your life, you cannot help but deliver those testimonies and those experiences with passion, because they are you. They're the things that made up who you are. And out of that overflow, the mouth speaks. And I believe this is why there's so much power in a testimony, because it comes from the passionate part of our inner soul. And Paul's testimony was widely known, especially now we know a lot about it. But even back then, Paul had a great testimony compared to where he was in fighting against this new way of the kingdom to being one of the greatest apostles to ever walk in it. And those listening to Paul or reading these letters here in 1 Corinthians or the Corinthian church, they knew what had happened to Paul on that dust-filled road to Damascus. You know, I'm kind of a sucker when it comes to being marketing or being pitched something, if it can be pitched or marketed with passion. And there's something about real passion that sells. And no, we're not selling Jesus, we're not selling the gospel, but our goal is to spread the gospel and to bring others into the saving grace, the fold of Christ. And the best way to do that is to give your testimony with passion. And contrary to many teachings, Paul is not asserting his apostleship to assert his authority. He's merely enforcing his role as a man who had seen Jesus numerous times and has been given a revelation for the sake of the early church. And in keeping with the theme of having rights as a Christian, Paul, above all else, above anyone else, had the right to exhibit his authority. These people in the church of Corinth especially owed Paul their ear, for he was the one responsible for the very existence of that church, and directly responsible for many of their salvations. And so the remaining 20-plus verses that we're going to look at in chapter 9 in the messages to come is Paul's self-defense about his rights. Rights, I might add, that he never abused and even never really used unless they were able to help him help others and further the gospel. And this is why addressing the subject of having rights as a Christian, you know, Paul had all these rights. Listen, the one who had the most rights gave up those rights so that you and I can be right with God. And that, of course, is Jesus. So, yes, you have rights as a Christian, but friends, it is always a greater witness to deny those rights for the sake of bringing the gospel to others. Now, I hope this has been helpful and clear. We're going to pick it up in verse 3 where we left off in our next message. I want to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. I do my live verse-by-verse Bible teachings there. You can find us at 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill. Come on by the Wash and Word. Let us know you're listening to these messages and that they're encouraging you. We always can use that encouragement. Let us wash your car. We work to earn the money to keep this ministry alive, and that's how you can support us. Well, we'll see you there. Have a blessed day.